Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta, and thanks again for joining me. Today, I'm going to be talking about a topic that is definitely been on my mind, and particularly in the news, there's been a lot of talk about Americans overdosing in very large numbers from anti-anxiety medications. I shouldn't say in very large numbers, but percentage-wise, there are quite a large percentage of when you look at the percentage of people who overdose from drugs in general. That people are overdosing on anti-anxiety medications, specifically things like Valium and Xanax and these kind of drugs. And I wanted to explore today's episode about how to create a more peaceful you, how to create more peace in your life. And what I want to say is I want to come at this a little bit different way than maybe you've heard this before. So what I'll first say is for any of you that know me, you know that I'm a pretty animated person, and I am not, you know, the thing about when I think about anxiety, we think about, we're going to break down sort of what anxiety is and, you know, what can you do to, you know, what can you do to create more peace and less stress in your life? But first to say about myself that I am not a great meditator. I have a hard time sitting still. I have a lot of energy. I will just keep going and going. I wake up in the morning. I pop out of bed. I just do stuff. I do a bunch of stuff. I love what I do. And then eventually at some point, I will just crash and sleep. So I'm not one of these people. You know, I don't have the personality to sit here and say to you, you know, sit under a tree and meditate for, you know, for 2 hours. Now, I will say we'll talk about meditation, and meditation can be very helpful. But you know, you can create more peace in your life even if you're a terrible meditator, even if you can't sit still, even if you have a lot of energy and you're like me and you have 1,000 ideas going on in your head, you can still create more peace in your life. And that's kind of where I'm going to come from with this episode. So let me say a little bit first of all about anxiety and talk a little bit about anxiety and what anxiety is. So first of all, to be alive is to have some level of anxiety. Anxiety to me is just a certain amount of energy. It's an energy that we have. And if you think about, you know, what would it be to be in a completely peaceful state? Now, there are some monks who achieve that through unbelievable years and years of discipline and meditation. There are monks who have achieved, they do these brainwave scans of these monks, and their brains are as calm as if they were asleep. They're basically just in REM state constantly, and they're just really peaceful, right? But for most of us, we're not going to have that kind of discipline or calling in life to be that calm. And so what I would say is that, you know, I heard the joke about, you know, there's a place where there's 5,000 people in the Bronx, none of them have any anxiety. It's the graveyard. So, you know, people that are dead, as far as we know, don't seem to have any anxiety, right? But to be alive is to have some level of anxiety. And anxiety to me, again, is just sort of an energy. You know, it might be just feeling a little keyed up or feeling maybe nervous at times. So we all have things to do. We wake up in the morning and we start thinking about, you know, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to, you know, am I going to get this job? Is this project going to work? Is my spouse still going to love me? Whatever it is that we're thinking about or worrying about, it's completely human to have anxiety. The problem becomes, and this is where generally people end up going to a therapist or going to a psychiatrist or going to a doctor. And, you know, I've been doing therapy for 10 years or so. The problem becomes that when we feel so anxious or we have so much anxiety that it starts to interfere with the things that we want to do. And so now you can't enjoy your life. Now you can't, you know, you can't do the things you want to do. And I'll tell you, I mean, for me personally, I've struggled with anxiety my whole life. I don't struggle with it anymore because I don't fight anxiety, so I don't struggle. But I'll tell you a story about, I've done, oh boy, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, I've done well over 250 presentations. I've presented everywhere pretty much across the United States. I've spoken in Germany, and I've talked about topics like dealing with difficult people, creating positive relationships. Most recently now, I talk more about podcasting. And I recently, I think the most recent presentation I did was in Washington, D.C. The next one I did before that was in Los Angeles. So, you know, I travel quite a bit, and I speak in front of audiences of people I've never met before. But for many years, I had really, really crippling panic attacks. I used to have really awful panic attacks. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, how can I speak if I have these panic attacks? And if you've ever had a panic attack, it can be really terrifying if you've never had one before. It feels like your heart is beating out of your chest, and you feel like you're going to pass out and you're going to die, which you're not. And I'll say a little bit more about panic attacks later on. But anyway, the bottom line is that, you know, I had to really kind of force myself out of my comfort zone to speak in front of audiences. And I used to worry about, you know, what happens if I have a panic attack. I also, you know, I've been on television as well. And so, you know, they shove the camera in your face for live television. And I remember thinking, oh my God, you know, what happens if I have a panic attack on air? You know, I'm going to be that person. And so, you know, I struggled with it for many years myself. And I'll tell you that one of the things that really helped me was realizing that it wouldn't be the end of the world. And in fact, I kind of thought to myself, well, the irony too is at the time I was struggling with panic attacks, I remember I got an opportunity to do a presentation about dealing with anxiety. And I thought, what happens if I have a panic attack in the middle of my presentation about dealing with anxiety? And I thought, well, worst comes to worst, I could always say to the audience, okay, this is what a panic attack looks like. And then I could throw myself down the aisle screaming and crying. And I thought, well, at least that would be funny, you know? so that kind of, it just got me to kind of not take myself so seriously and not worry about it. And as time has gone on, and the more I speak, the more I do this, you know, I teach, I speak, I do all this stuff. I don't really get very anxious at all anymore about speaking. It would take a lot for me to really be nervous about speaking. Yeah, I get nervous about other things, of course. So what I wanted to say is that, like I said, I'm not coming at this from a place of saying to you that I am someone who is completely peaceful. And I would say that I think part of the theme of what I want to share with you today is that you don't have to get rid of all your anxiety in order to have peace in your life. I feel a tremendous amount of peace in my life, even if I still have moments of anxiety. And so let's go back to the people who are asking for anti-anxiety medication. Now, first of all, I have no problem if somebody is really experiencing crippling anxiety. You know, it's definitely very worthwhile to talk to your doctor and, you know, go get a full physical, figure out if there's any medical reasons why that might be. And it certainly makes sense to go ahead and, you know, and explore all your options, including medication. The problem becomes, in my opinion, that, and this is just my opinion, but the problem becomes that a lot of people are getting medications like Valium, like Xanax. These are drugs from the benzodiazepine class family. Now, these medications can have very serious side effects and very serious ramifications. And they're also addictive. They also have the potential to be addictive, which is part of the problem. And then as people either increase their doses, or they increase the dose and then they just go off at cold turkey, that can be very dangerous. So you have people overdosing on all these medications. But it also makes me ask the question about, why is it that we seem to have more and more anxiety? You know, why are we so anxious? And I think one of the things that I would ask you to think about is the expectations that we have in our life. And I think one of the expectations that we have sometimes is that we shouldn't be anxious. And in fact, when I've worked with people, I said I would come back to panic attacks. I'm coming back to it. I've worked with many people who've had panic attacks, and they get medication. And usually within a month of working with them, they're usually off their medication and they don't need it anymore. Once they realize that one of the most important things you can do with anxiety is change your attitude towards your anxiety. And I think that one of the problems for me is that the mental health system and the healthcare system really reinforce what I think is a very limiting belief about anxiety. And that belief is stress and anxiety are bad. I shouldn't have them and I need to get rid of them. And that itself, that core belief or those core beliefs create as much problem as anything else. So let's take that example. Let's say that I'm in a job that I don't like and my boss yells at me and I have a lot of stress and anxiety and I go home and have a panic attack. And then I go to the doctor and I say, listen, I'm really stressed out. My boss is yelling at me. I can't take it. I can barely function at work. And so the doctor prescribes me Xanax or Valium and I start taking it. But the problem is because these drugs have the reason they're addictive is because you have to keep taking more and more of them to get the same result. You'll never get the same high. The first time you take Valium, you'll never get that same high again. And you have to keep taking more and more of it. You're always chasing the original, you know, how relaxed it made you feel. So you get an effect where you develop a tolerance to the medication. And you have to take more of it. But here's the thing that I would ask you to think about is, to me, our feelings are information. If you put your hand on a hot stove, then that's going to send a signal to your brain that's going to trigger pain receptors. And it's going to make you want to pull your hand off of the stove, right? Is that a bad thing? Well, it's painful, right? It's painful to experience a hot stove, but it's probably not a bad thing that you're able to feel that pain, because feeling that pain then signals to your body that you need to pull your hand off the hot stove. There are people who are born without the capacity to feel pain, and those people don't live very long because they get ear infections and they get cuts and they don't realize it and they get infected and they die from that. So, you know, without the ability to experience discomfort and pain, we actually don't live very long. And again, I feel that there's also a way in which the community of people who are, you know, the meditate, do yoga and all of this, that I think all those things are wonderful, but I also think that they too reinforce the idea that anxiety is bad, that it's something you need to get rid of. And then once you get rid of the anxiety, then you can be really spiritual. And I just think that that's not really possible. I've never truly seen someone get rid of their anxiety. And again, I know that there are examples of monks who have achieved amazing things, but that takes years and years of focus and discipline. And let's face it, most of us are not going to have the calling to be monks. And also, monks usually don't have to pay their mortgages, and they don't have to worry about their excise tax, and they don't have to do lots of things because they don't live in the world in the same way that we do. So, you know, if we're not going to be called to be monks, then what I would suggest to you is to reframe what anxiety is. That first of all, it's okay to have a certain amount of anxiety. Anxiety is an energy that you can use to do something with. But the other thing is, in that example of the person who doesn't like their job, their boss is yelling at them, and they go to the doctor, part of what I try to do with people is to say to them, maybe that anxiety is telling you something. Maybe what it's telling you is that you shouldn't be at that job. You know, maybe your body doesn't want to be at that job, and it's telling you that you need to be out of that job. You know, I've been in relationships where I had a lot of anxiety. I just constantly felt anxiety in the relationship. And, you know, I look back now and I realize, well, that's because it wasn't the right relationship for me. And my body was telling me that, you know, this isn't right, Doug. Like, this isn't working. And, you know, remember Spider-Man? He has a Spidey sense, you know? So we all have Spidey sense. We definitely all have Spidey sense. And that our anxiety in some ways is information. It's information to let us know that it's, you know, that we are, that something is wrong. So it's really reframing it from anxiety is bad and terrible and you should get rid of it, which is reinforced on the one end by here's a pill. It's reinforced on the other end by, you know, meditate 24 hours a day and then you'll be so calm that, you know, nothing will bother you. And I think sometimes it's okay for stuff to bother us. We're human beings. And not only is it okay for stuff to bother us, but also sometimes, you know, if you notice, like, anxiety can be a lot of things. Anxiety can be, it can be fear of success. It can be fear of failure. but it also sometimes can really be a message. And so what I'd encourage you to do is take a look at if you're dealing with a lot of stress in your life, if you're feeling a lot of overwhelm, the first thing I would ask you to do is to think about, where are you experiencing that stress? Are you experiencing it in one place more than another? And if so, why? And I would encourage you to do some journaling about this. You know, through when do I experience anxiety? What does that feel like in my body? And do I notice that it happens at a specific time? Is it associated with anything? So that can give you some clues. And sometimes anxiety really is, it's a message from your body that it's time to change course. The other thing that I think anxiety can be information about really is that, again, you know, that something is wrong. But at the same time, the other piece is sometimes if you're really pursuing your dreams and you're really pursuing something that you love, you'll get anxiety about that. You know, if you're doing something, if you want to be a performer and then you're getting on stage, you have anxiety. And people often think, well, oh my God, if I have anxiety, I can't be a performer. But one of the things I've learned is that I know that Barbara Streisand, for example, has said that she throws up backstage before every performance. And of course, you know, I'm not really a Barbara Streisand fan, but I know that my mother is, and other people that I know, there are people who are. But I'll tell you this, that Barbara Streisand, you know, there are people who would probably go watch Barbara Streisand throw up on stage. They love her so much. And that would be the whole show, and they'd feel like they got their money's worth. So the fact that she's so nervous when she has such a loyal following and she's been around for such a long time, you know, that tells you that it's not the case that anxiety is terrible and awful. It's not the case that anxiety is going to destroy your life, and that we can take a different approach towards it. We can have a more compassionate view of what anxiety is, and just say, okay, you know what? Right now I'm experiencing anxiety. Like I said, you know, I know when I started doing speaking, I just had to get enough presentations under my belt for the anxiety to go away. I just had to go through it. You know, it's something I had to experience in order to, the more that I spoke, the more I became, you know, the more relaxed I became. And now I'm at a point where, like I said, I really, very rarely do I actually get nervous at all presenting. I'm so used to doing it. You know, I just mostly feel excited about it. But so what I hope is, like I said, you know, if there's one main takeaway from this episode that I want to give you, it really is this idea that changing your attitude, changing your perception of what anxiety is, can really be life-changing and help you to find that peace. The other piece that I want to say before I is, so when you think about, for example, people going to the doctor and they're saying, I'm having anxiety, and then the doctor says, here's a pill. I really wish that there was a conversation before that that said, well, what does that anxiety mean to you? And when are you having that anxiety? And how bad is it? And what have you tried? Because I think, you know, one of the things that really breaks my heart is to see that people are dying unnecessarily. And we do live in this sort of age of anxiety where, you know, you watch the news and there's always something, right? There's always something to worry about. North Korea is developing a miniaturized weapon. You know, there's, you know, whatever. This person might win the election. It'll be terrible. The sea levels are rising. The world is ending. And so there's always something to be worried about. And, you know, the news loves to give you lots of things to worry about. And I think that what happens is people feel anxiety and then they panic and say, I can't handle this. I can't take this. I need to make it go away. And in fact, sometimes what you do to make your anxiety go away is worse than the anxiety itself. The other piece I want to say about peace, that this is the piece that as we wind down that I want to leave you with, is about, instead of making anxiety go away, build on what's good in your life and build more love and joy and passion into your life. And this for me has been one of the things that I've realized. So what I mean by that is it's really difficult to experience. You really can't experience two emotions at the same time. So if you're experiencing, for example, you're experiencing a ton of anxiety, if you can bring yourself into a state of gratitude, you won't be able, at some point, your anxiety, you're going to forget about your anxiety. So how do you bring yourself into a state of gratitude? Well, one of the things you can do is either write down or picture in your mind, all the things you're grateful for, the relationships that you're grateful for. There's a wonderful exercise by HeartMath. It's heartmath.org. And they have an exercise where you focus in on your heart energy and you picture an image of something, one of the moments in your life that you're most grateful for, the birth of your first child or your first kiss or a beautiful sunset that you've seen, and just focus on that image for about a minute. And you'll notice that when you do that, you'll be in a different state. By the time you're done, you'll be smiling and you'll feel joy. And so knowing that, I think the better we get at shifting ourselves from anxiety to peace and joy, the more, then again, it's not about getting rid of anxiety. It's about, what do I want to focus on in this moment? And so definitely doing that, you know, focusing on an image or writing down some things that you really appreciate, moving towards gratitude. That's a wonderful way to move through anxiety. The other thing that I would recommend is, when you live your life overall, living your purpose is another way to me that I think when I see people who are living their purpose in the world, people that are fully engaged, that are, you know, you're doing the things you want to be doing. And a lot of that, again, you know, the show is Creating Change, and it's about creativity. So it's about things like, if you love to dance, then go dance. If you love painting, if you love singing, if you love drawing, doing those things can really help. And again, it's not that you'll make your anxiety go away in the same way that you make a pill go away. You know, it might return. You know, you might have a great night. You go out dancing and you have a great night. And then you come back and in the morning, you feel anxious again. And instead of telling yourself, man, it didn't go away, it's terrible, it's horrible, I can't make this anxiety go away, and say to yourself, wow, I had this great night out. I really enjoyed myself. I had such a good time. What can I do today to fully engage myself, to fully engage in the world? And I'll tell you that for me, also having that sense of mission and purpose in my life, you know, my mission and purpose today is really to help, to help people share their voice and their creative gifts fully in the world. And I'm so excited about that, that even though I have anxiety, and even I still have anxieties, and I don't really get panic attacks anymore, but I still have anxiety, you know, I still have worries, I still have things I think about, you know, is the car going to hold up? I got to pay my taxes, whatever the random thoughts are that come in my mind. But yet they're not, those things don't interfere with my pursuing of my passion. And the other thing that I want to say is that it's not only is it not about getting rid of our anxiety, but in fact, I'm actually doing a multi-author book on courage, and we'll talk about that. I'll talk about that in a future episode. But I'm doing this book of 9 authors talking about courage. One of the juiciest things about life, one of the most exciting things about life, is when we walk through our fears and we do it anyway. You know, I think that's part of how we're built, that a big part of the creative process, a big part of the joy that we feel in the world, is walking through our fears. And if you numb yourself out, you know, by taking Valium or Xanax, you never get the chance to walk through your fears and say, I got up on stage and I was so nervous, but I did it. You know, I did it, and people laughed and they clapped, and I feel so good because I walked through my fears on the other side of that. And I really do feel like one of the things that we're losing is the ability to accept and understand that part of what it means to be a human being and part of what it is to be alive is to have some level of anxiety, to have some level of discomfort. When you try something new, when you, you know, you go for it and you ask someone out, you know, when you go for a new job, when you take a risk on something, you're going to feel nervous. You're going to feel anxiety. And you don't need to. Yes, there are things you can do to calm yourself down. That's where, you know, meditation can come in and all of those things. But there's something really rewarding about walking through the fear. To me, at the end of the day, you know, I think it's, this is the last thing I'll leave you with for today, is there's a really great book called What Happy People Know. And at the end of the book, one of the stories is about a woman who was dying of cancer. And someone asked her, you know, how you seem so happy. How do you do it? You know, how do you do this? And she said, we always have a choice between love and fear. And I choose love over fear. So that's my wish for you, is to choose love over fear, choose joy over fear. And thank you so much for listening. As always, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.